Okay. This is a reading from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 through 7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you, as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the trampling warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
Welcome and a Merry Christmas. Such a joy to gather together and to focus our hearts and minds. You know, Christmas is a time to give gifts, a time to receive gifts. And it's a time that we remember the greatest gift that's ever been given to mankind. And that is the gift of God's very Son, who's come to be one of us, to live with us, to groan with us. We're not going to sing it tonight, but I love that song that talks about, for poor, ornery people, he came. And so let's pray and give him thanks and then give this time to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, how we thank you for the joy. Joy to the world because your Son has come. And we, this evening, receive him as King. And we pray that every heart would just declare the wonder of his love. Thank you that we can sing with heaven and nature, that we can declare your goodness. We can be reminded of your faithfulness. We can celebrate your love. We pray that you would use this time in our hearts for your glory, that we, just as we're together, remembering and reminding one another in song and in scripture, we pray that we would be built up in love, united together, and equipped as your servants. Thank you for these moments we can share, and we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together and sing, Go Tell It on the Mountain. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds keep their watching for silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens, they're shown a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds fell and trembled when low above the earth, beyond the angel forest, they hailed the Savior's birth. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is Lord. Let's read together from John chapter 1, verse 1 through 4, and then 9 through 12. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Thank you.
Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortal sleepy angels keep their
Please be seated. One of the thrills of being a part of a Blacksburg Christian Fellowship is we're seeking to just share God's heart and experience God's heart for the nations and for the generation. And so one of the exciting things for me is we've got a lot of kids around here, and they're growing and learning and enjoying just the privilege to get to know the creator of the universe, the one who came to visit us on Christmas Day. And so right now we're going to have a little teaching time for the kids, and Terry Gender is going to come up, and I would ask all the kids, please come on up and sit right down here, and we're going to have a fun teaching time. Don't be bashful. Come on up, please. And it's going to be great. And so let's just enjoy our kids learning about the wonder and the marvel of Christmas.
Something funny. I was afraid nobody would be here tonight. Is that funny? I think that's funny. Well, first of all, thank you for coming up and finding a spot. There is lots of spot right here. Kirby, you could come right here and be right by me. You want to be right by me too? I love it. Okay. Everybody got a spot and they're settled? All right. Merry Christmas. So tonight, I want you to tell me, who is on this card?
The three wise men.
The three wise men. And what are they doing? Following the star. You guys all know the story, right? Tonight, I want to talk to you about our guiding star and what we do to listen to him. All right? You ready? Who were these three wise men going to see? Jesus. And was he an infant still and a little baby? Look at this. Can you see the wise men going to see Jesus on that beautiful card? Sure. Everybody see that? So what is our guiding star? Do we have a guiding star like these wise men? We do. Do you know what our guiding star is? The Bible. And in our guiding star of the Bible, it tells us that we want to follow Jesus. Did these wise men bring gifts? So what gift could we give? Can we give our gift of our whole heart? So if we give our whole heart to Jesus, we're doing just like the wise men are doing, right? And that's as simple and as complex as our faith can be. We want to trust in our guiding light, and we want to do what our guiding light tells us to do. Do you know these wise men? They heard a voice from an angel that told them to go home a different way, and they did it. They listened to God's voice even way back then. I work with Miss Cindy Youngman and the three-year-olds on Sunday morning, and we sing a song called Trust and Obey, just the chorus. And I want you to sing that with me. And we're going to make a big T for the trust and a big O for the obey. And we'll be happy in Jesus. You guys ready? I'm going to put this down.
To be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey.
That's what I need to do. You guys can go back to your seat. Thank you.
What a joy. The wonder to think of those wise men coming from so far away. And you remember that there was a lot going on when Jesus came and the angels came to the lowly shepherds. And so we're going to stand together and sing while shepherds watch their flocks by night. Let's stand and praise the Lord.
Shepherds watch their flocks by night, all seated on the ground. The angel of the Lord came down, and glory shone around, and glory shone around. Fear not, said he, for mighty dread that sees their troubled one. The tidings of great joy I bring to you and all mankind, to you and all mankind. To you in David's town this day is born of David's line, the Savior Christ the Lord, and this shall be the sign, and this shall be the sign. The heavenly babe you there shall find, to human view displayed. And in a manger bed, and in a
To sing a song now that we've been working on. We actually sung it this morning, and it's just a reminder that the baby in the manger is also the King of Kings, and he shall reign forevermore. And one of the fun things, the kids have been working on this song, and so when we get to the second verse, it's going to say children, so we're just going to ask children just sing out with gusto, and we're going to just support you. And as they sing, we'll just listen on, and then we'll all jump back in together and repeat that verse and praise the Lord. Let's sing, He Shall Reign Forevermore. Together.
Here within a manger lies the one who made the starry skies. This baby born for sacrifice, Christ the Messiah. Into our hopes, into our fears, the Savior of the world appears. The promise of eternal years, Christ the Messiah. And he shall reign forevermore, forevermore. And he shall reign forevermore, forevermore. And he shall reign forevermore.
Please be seated.
A reading from Matthew 2, 1 through 12. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it was written by the prophet. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained for them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts: gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they had departed to their own country by another way.
Thank you, Molly. And thank you all for being here this evening. It's just a delight to see so many faces. I know we have some visitors here tonight. Family who's back in town, it's just great to see you. My name is Jim Kruskas. I'm one of the pastors here at Blacksburg Christian Fellowship, and it is such a privilege to be able to speak on Christmas Eve. Earlier this week, I thought about that. Along with it being a privilege, it's a bit challenging as well, because I thought about, you know, there's one person tonight that's standing between many of their children and their gifts, and that would be me. So, you know, it's no easy task to preach or to teach on Christmas Eve. But there's another challenge involved with teaching on Christmas Eve. And this involves not only the children, but really all of us, young and old, those of us who have grown up in the church, and some of us who really have had no involvement in the church, those of us who attend church regularly, and those of us who are sporadic. This is a challenge that really hits all of us. And the challenge that I'm referring to is the familiarity of the Christmas story. That is a real challenge for all of us in this room. You know, a lot of us, probably most of us, we know the raw facts. We know that Mary was the mother of Jesus. We know that Jesus' stepfather was Joseph. We know that there were shepherds involved. We know that there were wise men on the scene. We know a lot of the information. We know the context. Yet somehow in all of that, we can easily miss out on the truth that this very, very familiar story can actually change our lives. And if we don't understand that, if we walk out of here tonight and we forget that, then we've really missed out on something really, really wonderful. There's so much more to Jesus' birth than just a nice, familiar story. Somehow we lose the wonder of the Christmas story that Jesus, who is God, think about that, the one who created all things in Him, through Him, by Him, all things were created, that Jesus, who is God, he clothed Himself in flesh, and He left heaven, and He came to earth, and He was born, and He lived among us. What an amazing truth that is. And tonight, in the next few minutes, I just want to share with you three responses that many of us can have to that wonderful story, a familiar story, but a wonderful story. And based on the narrative that Molly read, from those 12 verses, I see basically three different responses that all of us can have in this room on the Christmas story. One possibility is defiance. Another is disinterest. And the third is devotion. And I just want to briefly in the next few minutes just touch on each of those and then challenge us, which of those three will describe you on this Christmas Eve? Let's just start off with defiance. One way you and I could respond to Jesus' coming is to defy Him or to rebel against His authority. And that's exactly how King Herod responded. What do we know about this King Herod? Well, we know that he was a man of power. He was a man of prestige. He started ruling in 40 BC, and he was very, very successful. He brought peace in the area. We would refer to him today as a mover and a shaker. He was a master architect. He built things. He built a racetrack. He built theaters. He even reconstructed the temple in Jerusalem. He was a gifted and very clever politician. In fact, you would appreciate this, most of you. He gave a tax break to the people, okay? I see your eyes light up about that. And the list goes on and on. In 25 BC, when times were really tough, he actually melted some of his own gold and gave it to those who were poor. So this guy, he was no dummy. He was very, very, very gifted. Yet there was another side of King Herod. There was a dark side to King Herod. There was a rebellious side to him. There was a defiant side. And we see that side surface with the birth of Jesus Christ. It was at this point, the narrative that Molly read, some point after Jesus' birth, that the wise men came into Jerusalem. And I know a lot of times we think, just because of the cards and the way things are presented, that there were only three wise men. We don't know that. The Bible doesn't say that. There was probably a huge entourage of wise men. And so they come into town and they're just asking questions. Where is this King of the Jews? And so there's just this rumbling around the town. And then King Herod finds out about it. And the text tells us how he responded. When these wise men came into town and when they were asking about Jesus and a little bit about him, our text says that Herod was troubled. He was troubled. And I think we got to ask ourselves, why? Why would this great king, this very accomplished man, why would he be troubled? And the answer to that question is because he was threatened. He was threatened by Jesus because he didn't want anyone to come against his own kingship. And he saw Jesus as a tremendous threat. In fact, listen again to what the wise men were saying when they entered into Jerusalem. They said, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews?" Herod heard that, another king? And then the wise men said, for we saw his star. Amazing, isn't that? That the stars belong to Jesus Christ. The wise men said, where is his star? And then they concluded their remarks by saying, we've come to worship him. So this is a great threat to Herod. And so he eventually lies to the wise men, pretends that he's also interested in worshiping Jesus, which he wasn't. The whole thing was a ploy. Herod wanted nothing to do with Jesus Christ. When the wise men were warned in a dream about Herod's true motives, he became furious. And according to Matthew chapter 2, verse 16, Herod sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or younger. Wow. See what defiance will do? See what this idea of being threatened by another authority will do? And at this point, you're probably asking, yeah, but that was 2,000 years ago. Here we are in 2023. We're so much more sophisticated. We're not. We're not. And yeah, maybe we're not kings. Maybe we don't have power and authority over a particular region. But you know what? Our hearts have not changed. And we'll tolerate Jesus. We'll tolerate him as teacher. We may even be okay with him as a prophet. But once we're told that he's God, and once we're told from the Bible that he has authority over our lives, that's where many of us, we draw the line. And so tonight I have to ask you, when it comes to Jesus and that idea that he's your authority, it's not easy. And sometimes we defy that. And we say, yeah, he's okay, but he can't be dreams, or he can't be king of my life. He can't be king of my dreams. He can't be king of my future. He can't be king of my money. He can't be king of my family, of my children, of my career. But that's what he demands of us. So, yes, so one possibility, even tonight on this Christmas Eve, one possibility for each of us is to respond to Jesus Christ by defying his authority. But there's another way you and I could respond to Jesus' coming. And I grant you that this second option, it's much more subtle, but just as consequential. And that second response is disinterest. Disinterest. What do I mean by disinterest? I mean indifference. I mean, you know, that attitude of, you know, whatever. You ever, maybe you've done this, I've done this, maybe you've come across, you know, you ask someone a question, oh, whatever. You know, it's like the whatever mentality. You come out of a classroom, hey, what'd you think of the class? Oh, whatever. What'd you think of the professor? What'd you think of what he said? Whatever. You know, hey, your underwear's on fire. Whatever. Okay? It's like indifferent about everything. And that is truly a response that some of us can have. And you know who can be most susceptible to that kind of response? Church people. Church people. We can know our Bibles. We know our theological X and O's. Yet somehow we've forgotten or we have lost our first love, and that's Jesus Christ. And we see an example of disinterest with the chief priests and the scribes. Who are the chief priests and scribes? These were the religious professionals. These were the hired guns who worked in the temple, who had the special and high calling of handling the word of God. And that's why when King Herod was trying to figure out the implications of Jesus and his birth, what did he do? He went out and he approached the priest and he approached the scribes because he wanted to figure out if they could help him. Was Jesus the fulfillment of what the Old Testament prophesied? And so Herod, he gathered around these experts and he asked them the simple question, where was the Christ to be born? And the professionals tell him that he's supposed to be born in Bethlehem. And not only do they tell him that, they validate it by reciting a passage from Micah chapter 5, a prophecy that was given 700 years before Jesus came. went like this, "And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." This is remarkable. Here you have these scribes and these priests. They know what the Bible taught. They know that Jesus was the one that was foretold 700 years ago, and here he was. Yet there's a total disinterest of all the people who should have followed the wise men looking for Jesus. It should have been the priests and the scribes. Of all the people, they had the truth, yet they did nothing with it. And I'm afraid the subtleness of disinterest is a real possibility for many of us in this room this evening. It's not necessarily that we don't believe. It's that we're disinterested in making Jesus Christ the priority of our life. We tell ourselves, well, I'll get to that eventually. I don't have time now. I'm too busy with my career or with sports or with children. Jesus is not my priority. In short, we're disinterested. Matthew Henry, a 17th century theologian, wrote, "A man may be persuaded of many truths and yet hate them because they interfere with his ambition or sinful indulgences. Such a belief will make him uneasy and the more resolved to oppose the truth and the cause of God." That could be us. So if the first response is defiance and the second is disinterest, both of which is not preferred, there's a third option, and that's devotion. And of course, we see devotion to Christ exemplified in the life of the wise men, these beautiful wise men. And again, we don't know how many there were. There could have been many, there could have been three, but there could have been more. And from their example, we can learn what it means to devote our lives to Jesus Christ. What does devotion to Jesus look like? Devotion to Jesus means taking joy in his coming. Verse 10, "When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy." Jesus came to rescue you and me. Don't lose the wonder of that. You and I were sinners. We were apart from God. We were not part of his family. God in his grace and his mercy, he sent Jesus to save you and to save me. That should bring us great joy. In addition, devotion to Jesus means worshiping him as Lord. Again, in verse 11, "And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and they worshiped him." You and I, we were created to worship God. In one way or another, we will worship someone or something. When we see Jesus as God's Son, the Savior of the world, worship will always follow. Lastly, devotion to Jesus means offering him our all. Again in verse 11, "Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." They gave them their everything because he deserves it. I want to bring our time to a close, and I want to ask you a question this evening. What are you going to do with Jesus? You know, I know in a few minutes we're going to leave. We're going to spend time with family. It's going to be wonderful. And I hope each and every one of you have such a lovely time with your family. But just in this next minute or two, I want to ask you that question. What are you going to do with Jesus? Are you going to defy him like Herod? Are you going to be disinterested in him like the priests and the scribes? Or are you going to devote yourself to him like the wise men? You know, one of the greatest challenges we all face in this room is being familiar with the story of Jesus, with his birth. We've heard about it. We know all the raw details. We know that. But tonight, you know what? Those raw details that storyline that we know a little bit of, it can intersect with the story of your life and it can change you forever. And it starts when you decide personally, when you decide to devote yourself to the person of Jesus Christ. And of course, from there, we want to help you grow in that relationship. If you decide tonight, yes, I want to devote myself to Jesus, and you make tonight that night, we want to help you. So we would invite you to come back. But you got to start somewhere. And that beginning point can begin tonight if you devote yourself to the person of Jesus Christ. God bless all of you. Merry Christmas. We are so glad that you're here. And let me pray, then Chris will come up and lead us in another song. Father, thank you so much for the good news of Jesus' coming. And Lord, I pray for the souls of each man and woman and children that's here. Lord, I pray that this Christmas Eve wouldn't be just another Christmas Eve where we go through the motions of knowing the familiar. But I pray, Lord, that we could get past the superficialities of the birth of Jesus and allow it to truly change our lives and change our hearts and change the trajectory of our lives. So, Father, I pray for each person here that your work would be done in their lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Jim. What a reminder. Let's all stand together and sing with great joy, "The Lord has come."
These words from John chapter 3. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Amen.